Corporate Cafecito, a podcast based on professional development, career growth, and respecting our cultural identity. Welcome back to Corporate Cafecito. Yo soy Nayeli Suarez Guest, and today I have Sergio Suarez Jr. with me. And for those of you who have been fans for a long time, you'll know that Sergio Suarez's last interview on AI was actually our number one most listened to podcast of 2023. And because he is my little cousin, I am so immensely proud to even just know him. But I think that one of the reasons he is so popular is because he tackles things that we do not understand, and as we look to understand them. So welcome back, Sergio.
Thank you.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, and then maybe a little bit, I see that you are now in a collaboration with a different, with another company. Tell us a little bit about who you are and maybe what's happened with AI in the last week.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing is it's, you know, we knew that it was going to move fast. It's probably moving faster than we even kind of predicted. I know I was here in June and we spoke about, I'm like, man, this stuff's going to happen really quickly. It's going to be exponential. It's been much, much faster because there's been a lot more players and there's kind of a race to make AI for a whole bunch of different stuff. So it's been a fun ride. I like that I'm in it. Right. I get to every day. It's pretty exciting to wake up and be like,
but
well, crazy.
But you were like way ahead of the game getting in it.
Yeah, we started our company in 2017. There was something called Transformer.
Yeah, architecture, they make Transformer cars models. And they turn into robots.
But it was a new way of creating artificial intelligence or neural networks, you know. And I really wanted to do that. I think it was more of that's when OpenAI kind of started too. Mm-hmm. And now we have all this crazy stuff like large language models and small language models. But no, I'm the CEO of a company called Tackle AI. We started in 2017. Our focus has always been in processing documents. So it's always been around text. We focus a lot on images though. We work mostly in the healthcare and legal space. So understanding large healthcare documents and legal documents. Over the last 6 months, there's been a whole bunch more companies that have come in. I know I had spoken a lot about ChatGPT. Now Meta or Facebook, their main focus is now AI. They recently said they have 350,000 H100s, which are GPU cards. But
GPU card?
It's a graphics processor. So it's able to run AI faster than like a CPU that you have on your computer. But when you're writing, like, for example, video mm-hmm. games nowadays need a GPU card because it's just better at running. It can calculate things faster. And yeah, so that's why we end up using GPUs.
I'm going to ask you very simple questions that I actually have as you're saying this. Does Fortnite use like AI?
Oh, so every video game's using AI.
Yeah. How do they use it?
It's weird because back in the day, they used to have like these things that would randomize, right? So a lot of what was happening was randomization. Mm-hmm. Now video games are kind of tailored to understanding how you're playing and the other people are playing to try to make the game like fair and make sure that everybody, yeah.
Okay,
we used to call it rubber banding back in like Mario Kart days.
Yeah.
Where if you were way ahead, they would help other people with better luck to catch
up to
you.
Right, you'd get the bullet if you were all the way in the back.
yeah. Now that was a simplistic version, right, uh-huh. Of it. Nowadays, it's literally can figure out how good you are after, you know, you play it for, I'll show you an example of mm-hmm. this is they use it in the military a lot when they're training to be like fighter pilots. Mm-hmm. They adjust how good the game is in the simulator to how good of a pilot they are. Right. So there's no need in a person who's insanely advanced to be given simple things to do while they're on the simulator. But instead of you having to input it in, it could literally tell by the things that you're doing and understanding. Whereas if you're very simple and you're just starting out, there's no point in giving you insanely complex situations to try to navigate. So AI is being used, and you know that's a simplistic way in the with that. But you know, there's things like Grand Theft Auto and a lot of these other games that literally take into account how everybody is behaving and adjusting the world to the skill sets of everybody.
My boys play Fortnite.
Yeah.
And when I go on to play, I'm like, this is too hard, but I've grabbed someone else's Switch and I'm like, I'm able to like do things here that I haven't been able to do. And I think theirs is just so, they're just on level 200, whatever. And so I think that it's just, they think I'm Mario when I join.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they definitely do.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just like, I can't do this one.
Yeah. It's, and you know, we do it in all kinds of games, mm-hmm. right? In chess, you know, after you play, you know, hundreds of games, you get a rating and they try to play you with people that are the same rating. The thing with AI now, it's just doing it like live. It's doing it as you're playing and it adjusts. We're doing that with everything.
So when it's adjusting, right? So like Fortnite is what, Epic Games? Mm-hmm. And it's also the Switch and it's also online. Who is adjusting or are they all adjusting in real time?
So everything is being run from central servers that are Epic, and they have all of the AI that's running behind the scenes. So it's not really playing a lot of times. That's why you need to be connected to the internet. Mm-hmm. It's mostly because it's going back and forth with all that information. Now, some of it is actually inside of the game, mm-hmm. and there is processing inside of like a Switch. But normally, if you give them access to like a computer, that's why most, you know, super serious gamers play on PC.
We're not there yet.
Yeah. Well, they'll get there. They're like, my son downloaded Steam like 5 years ago and, you know, that hasn't gone back. Yeah. But yeah, the more processing power you have, if you have access to a GPU, the AI is just going to be better because it can process stuff quicker. Most of the time it's happening server side on their side, but a lot of times there's stuff that's happening on your PC as well.
When you said that Facebook or Meta is focused on AI, one of the things I read, and sometimes it takes me a little bit to form the question just because I don't speak this language, but I've seen companies say, we're going to form our own AI. What does that mean for that? Like, as Meta forms their own AI, the question. Ooh. Are they?
So this is like a super loaded question.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I knew that. That's why I wanted to make sure I said it right.
Because it means a lot of things to a lot of people, okay. Right? So OpenAI changed a lot of stuff, right? So there are very few companies mm-hmm. that literally create their own architecture. When we said something, you know, when at the beginning when I talked about you build something from a transformer model, right? It's literally from nothing. You have zero to go from and you start building from there and you take this architecture and you're able to build this.
Okay.
You start giving it data.
Transformer model.
Yeah.
Explain that a little bit.
So it's literally an architecture to teach something.
Okay.
Right? And it really had been around since like 2012, caught on around 2017. It's what OpenAI, like ChatGPT, and basically every big thing you're seeing right now is based on.
So a transformer model learns, regurgitates, and then acts?
It builds. It's actually like an architecture that you can build models from.
Okay.
Right. So it's think of it as the actual brain.
Okay.
Right. And the way that the brain, it's how you grow the brain. Right. And then this is how this thing grows. And there's other ways of doing it that are not transformer model based, like we've been doing it in the past. But that's the big one right now, is if you use transformer architecture, you end up with these amazing large language models that do X and Y. Now, I would say in the world, there's probably only like 10, 15 companies that have done that.
Okay.
Right. And then what they do, what everyone else is doing, is then taking the foundation that these guys built and then building models off of it. Right. So you today, right, mm-hmm. you can build an AI in, I don't know, an hour from your house.
I couldn't, but thanks for that vote of confidence.
And here's the thing. I assure you, you can.
Okay.
And I wouldn't even have to tell you how. Right. But let's say that you want to make a model where people can ask it, tell it the ingredients they have in the refrigerator, mm-hmm. and then give them
a recipe
that is based on their taste, right? So mm-hmm. you're going, hey, well, what do you like to eat? What don't you like to eat, etc. You can create that model and put it up for people to download or to use online in an hour, right? Now, one of the ways you do that is you go to like OpenAI or ChatGPT, and you can create your own GPT that you train to specifically be good at a certain thing, but you're using their base model, right? So you're using kind of what ChatGPT is currently, and you're saying it, okay, but you're going to focus now on this. So here's all this new information. With this new information, you're now going to be less good at this stuff, but way better at this. Right. And so you can give it thousands and thousands of cookbooks. Right. You can tell it which recipes are good. It'll come up with recipes and you have people tell them, yes, this is a good recipe. No, this is not a good recipe, or et cetera. Right. Kind of like reviews. We call that mm-hmm. reinforcing. And after a little bit, you could literally, it'll just work and it's your AI. So when companies are saying they're creating their own AI, they usually mean, mm-hmm. right, I would say 99% of the time, what they mean is, we're going to take an off-the-shelf model, and we're going to train it to be good at something else, not a base thing. And that's usually what they're doing. But there's companies like with us where we built stuff from the ground up because we did it in 2017. The Facebooks of the world, OpenAI, there's a company in France called Mixtral that is very, very good. And they started from scratch. And everybody then chooses one of them and then builds their AI off of them.
Let's say I love food, food examples. So I'm going to stick with that. Like, let's say we have this recipe, ChatGPT or AI that I just started. Mm-hmm. Right. But all palates are different. Mm-hmm. So if I'm getting ones where people are rating them a certain way, but they don't have the same palate, like how do you make sure that, how do you balance that?
So it's in the training. You train that, right? So you can ask questions
up front.
Don't
listen to Sergio.
Exactly. No, but one of the things you can do is you can say things like, hey, this is a person that when it says you need a recipe, it could say, it's even simpler. You could say, do you like cheeseburgers? Would you prefer a cheeseburger or a steak?
So they do those tests for like the wine things where they're like, do you like chocolate or do you like this? Do you like-
You prefer salty or sweet?
Do you prefer the beach or the mountains? And they're like, oh, then you would like this Pinot Noir. You know. And I'm just like, okay, how'd you get that? It feels like Cosmo. Cosmo was onto this a long time
ago. Yeah, they were. Yeah, except now it's like so, now it can just take- like millions and billions of different data points and figure it out specifically for you. And I've seen some pretty cool stuff. Like there's some legal GPTs out there that are pretty strong. I'd say we'll start to see more, you know, more and more strong stuff coming out in the next few months. But no, yeah, anybody can make one now.
How do you see this? Like, I know you talked about healthcare and legal. What impact do you think it'll have on some of the other industries? I mean, like food, it would... Probably like I gave you the wine example, and I think that that's going to be a better match for like varietals and things that you like. And that's just an ad that I was served. But how do you see its impact on other industries?
Yeah, it's significant. When I came last time, I'm like, hey, there's a bunch of stuff that the AI is going to be able to do, right? Mm-hmm. I remember people telling me, well, you know, AI will never be able to create beautiful art.
And you're like, voila.
And now it just does. Yeah. You know, it's incredible. It's never going to be able to write a song. And it can, actually. And now and you can't tell the difference anymore.
Did you see I can't remember where I saw this video, but it was like, and the winner for the best movie is like #17P.
Dude, it's crazy, man. There's this amazing, I saw like a 1-hour special of George Carlin, and it's called I'm Glad I'm Dead. And it was an AI took all of the material he'd ever written and made a 1-hour special. And then a guy does a voice of him at just repeating what the AI came up with. And it's a 1-hour special that you would have sworn George Carlin wrote.
Like, really?
It's really funny. Yeah. It's really funny. And it's very much. And he's talking like he's, and that's the whole point of it is like, I'm glad I'm dead because, you know, this is all crazy what's going on and whatever. It can write jokes too. it can mimic, so how is it going to affect other industries? Like every single industry is going to get it. There's no industry that's not going to be affected, mm-hmm. right? The writer's strike was really smart that they did it when they did it. I think they saw the writing on the wall with this stuff, right? The food and beverage industry, same thing.
Can I ask you, so food and beverage, you know, that's near and dear to me, mm-hmm. but like, if you think about it, like I gave you the wine survey example. Mm-hmm. Will this hurt new brands from being developed if they're not going to be part of the algorithm? Like as new things come in, how do they join that thing where they could be in the consideration set? Because AI learns based on previous, right?
So yeah. So the only way to be successful selling stuff, right? Uh-huh. Like is you have to know how to manipulate algorithms, right? I like to equate stuff to people, something that everybody understands is like YouTube, mm-hmm. right? Why does the algorithm like certain thumbnails, right? You know, when someone makes a little thumbnail, mm-hmm. right? Why is it? Why is it that they like it when it's more colorful or a person showing emotion on their face, right? Why do they make such exaggerated faces on their thumbnails? It's not even that people click it more, which they do, but it's that the algorithm likes it. So whatever it is that does, the algorithm likes it. It equates to like when Google first came out, mm-hmm. Google loved when it saw things that were bolded, right? Because it said, hey, this is more important, right? The initial algorithm, or it would say, hey, whenever somebody repeats the same word a lot, then, hey, this is an important thing because they're repeating this word. And it was simplistic. That's kind of what's going on right now with this AI. It's like, hey, someone's very emotional. Like people like emotional things. So I'm going to suggest this video because that's what the thumbnail says.
It's so funny because sometimes I see people put like putting picture for the algorithm and I'm like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, but that's what they mean and they're right, right? Because they didn't, can they explain it? No, but it does and it works.
And it's like a cat.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, yeah. Everyone loves cats, yeah. Right? And the algorithm now likes cats. And like I told you before, we can't really go and pinpoint the reason why. Mm-hmm. We just know that it's true. If you're not also doing that with your brand or the thing that you're selling, mm-hmm. you're going to get beat out by products that are not as good, but they know how to sell themselves specifically for what's going to be suggested, not only on Google, but on Amazon and, you know, Drizzly, even though it's going away, but Uber Eats and like all these other things.
Like, oh, Uber Eats has like, knows me.
Yeah,
Uber
right?
Eats is my best friend. It's like, do you want Chinese? I'm like, yeah, I do.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, they get me all the time. Yeah, I'm just like sitting at home and they're like, hey.
Like, do you want 20% off on a milkshake? Like, okay.
They're like, hey, this donut place is selling donuts right now for 20% off. Are you down? I'm like, I am actually.
Yeah.
Go ahead and place that for me.
I think that that's really interesting. And I believe that this is a great way to like make us more efficient. It also scares me to feel like I'm behind with AI. And I'm not an early adopter on anything from clothing to like, except for food probably, but that's probably just because I love eating. But I remember one time I was hosting a party for my coworkers from PepsiCo and my boss walked into my house and this is already when like LED TVs were on and I still had the big one. And he goes, who was born first? You or your TV? So not an early adopter. How do you jump into this?
Yeah.
Or like, how do you, like, where's a safe entry point or maybe that? And where's AI? Where am I already using AI that I don't even know about?
Yeah. I mean, I can tell you this. You know, we're both Mexican. Mm-hmm. We're constantly behind as a culture on this stuff, right? We're not, it's one of those things a lot of times because we didn't have access to certain things, but like when the internet came out, right? Like Mexican people were some of the last people to have websites for their businesses, right? Mm-hmm. We just, because we didn't understand it. It was difficult.
Like, so we don't need it.
The education, right? And you're like, hey, but the early adopters took over. Right. The people with the web pages, the people that sold online, the people, I mean, Amazon, the only reason they got is because they sold online. And then it turns out that's what people wanted. Right. And other people who didn't, I mean, look at Sears. Sears was the biggest company ever, refused to sell online. And by the time they're like, yeah, hey, we're just kidding. We're going to sell online. Right. They were gone. Right? They were the innovators. They were the ones where you could, where they sent you the big catalog. Right. Oh, and they did that in like the 1920s and they deliver stuff to you. But then they didn't early adopt into selling, you know, onto the internet. And so you have to kind of be with this, right? Like it's one of those things where it is blatantly obvious that this is the future. It's the present and it is the future and it will continue to be just like the internet was. And I think that you're either going to start applying it into your everyday life now or you'll be forced to in the future because everybody else is, right? You're not going to be able to compete. It's a skill that you need for jobs now. There's like literally called prompt engineers. You know how to talk to, you know, prompts, ChatGPT, right? How do you know how to ask it the questions in the right order in the way that it likes? Can you get it to give you the information in the way that is helpful to the company or?
So I think about, I used to use SQL and I love SQL. Could make any data dance, but it'd be like, oh, you put that comma in the wrong space, so everything's off.
Yeah.
OpenAI feels a lot more forgiving, where it's like, oh no, I didn't mean that, and it's like, what did you mean? And it's like, you know, and so I think that there's a lot of, I feel like there's a lot of unknown with like when you say like to use it or start using it, like use it how?
Yeah, dude. Okay, so. For me, I always technically equate stuff to business, but I use it in my everyday life, right? So I always tell people, like, you make Facebook posts. Mm-hmm. Run it through AI first. Like, use Llama. Use ChatGPT. Use whatever. And say it in a better way, right? Like, literally say what you're going to say in a way that will be more captivating to people, right? and that makes you kind of say things the way that you want to say them but can't think of saying them, because now you're taking billions and trillions of different combinations of words that can say it in a better way. You know, you didn't sleep well last night, but this thing is always doing great. You know, I would say that, like, business wise, everyone will be using it. If you're a business owner, got to use it for figuring out how to market yourself online. And what it's really good at is coming up with ideas. Even your question, hey, what are the different ways I can use AI in my everyday life? Just ask AI. One of them. Yeah, ask them. They'll give you really good answers. You know,
like, use me for everything. don't buy a car without me.
I actually sometimes ask it, dude, I need an app that does this, but it's got to be very specific to this. And it will give me the apps. Right? But, oh, these are the ones that are really good. And I'm like, well, how did you know that one was good? Explain it to me. And then it will explain to me. Well, I looked here and here and here, and I got this information. I think right now the one that's, again, there's a bunch of AI, right, that we use. I think Llama's a big one. Mixtral's another. There's Falcon, and there's a whole bunch, right? The one that's easiest, and I talk about ChatGPT a lot, is because it's the one that is most user-friendly for everyday people to
just use. ChatGPT, I'm going to Guadalajara. What should I do while I'm there? Give me 3 days. And it's like, tuk, 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 tuk.
Oh, and it's really good. And then you can tell it to change stuff too. Like, actually, I don't want to walk that much. Like, what can I do if I don't want to walk as much? And then it'll give you awesome suggestions for that.
Wow, that's a great idea.
Yeah. Or, you know, I care a lot about culture. What are things that I can do that'll help me understand the culture of where I'm going more, right? So if you're going to Italy, like, I'm whatever, you know, I really want to go back into the history of X, Y, and Z, right? And what are the most beautiful churches I can go see that, you know, not many people go to? Like, there's little off the beat churches that I want to go look at, and it'll find them. So yeah, it's if you're not using it, you're falling behind on people who are, and we're seeing it like all the time. You know, the articles that I read now, the ones that I enjoy reading, are the ones that were written by AI and then like edited by a human.
Well, I think that you guys just got a bunch of homework. You got your tarea, pónganse las pilas, learn about this and learn how to use it. And, you know, in last June, Sergio told us to practice and to get out there. And I would say let's take a challenge and try to find how you're using AI 10 times today. Sergio, thank you so much for coming, for being here. We love having you here, and we're probably going to have you back because we have more questions for you.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks for listening to Corporate Cafecito. Nos vemos la próxima vez. Corporate Cafecito was produced in beautiful downtown Oak Park at Boulevard Studio. Audio engineer and editor is Mike Mitchell.